Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our hope and Redeemer. I have a confession to make. I dislike weddings. That might seem a strange thing for a Christian minister who has presided at weddings and who is himself a married man to say. But the reality is that I have all too often observed that weddings are quite often about everything and everyone else except the two people actually getting married. The extent to which this is the case, of course, differs from one wedding to another, but I have been to weddings where, frankly, it seemed that the bride and groom were incidental to the proceedings, and that it was about everything else that was happening around them. Because quite often, weddings are not events that are only or primarily to celebrate the fact of two people making a lifelong commitment to one another. All too often, they are about a social display, about the extravagance of the service that the families can afford, or the generosity of the gifts that they can give to the attendees, or indeed how many people they can invite to the party afterwards. There is all too often this element of social display that tends to overshadow and sometimes even overwhelm the fact of two people getting married. This was a reality that would have been familiar to the people of Jesus' time, because weddings were rarely, if ever, about two people in love who decided to commit their lives to each other. Weddings often had a financial or a political or some other dimension that was the actual reason for the marriage being contracted. It was about the division of property or the social standing of the families involved. And that in turn called for a display, for a feast to be put on, and for lots and lots of guests to be invited so the families could display to the community how important they were. And often this provision went beyond just the invited guests. Often it went out to the community as well. So you can imagine, in a society where losing face was the worst thing that could happen to you, you can imagine the embarrassment and the alarm that would have been caused if you held a wedding feast and no one came. Or you sent out invitations and no one responded. Because weddings and the display that was attached to weddings were in Jesus' time of paramount social importance. And if you were in the situation where you held a wedding and no one came to the feast, then your standing in society was profoundly and powerfully diminished. But there was more to it than that as well. Because reaching back into the sacred history of Israel, the idea of the feast, of the gathering of the people, even in the context of a wedding, was one that was frequently utilized in the prophetic tradition to symbolize God's redemption of the world and his bringing together of the whole world into the life of God. The gathering of all the nations of the world to feast on Zion was part of the prophetic tradition's articulation of how God would enact God's will in the fullness of time. So in today's reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, we have a parable that touches two very strong chords in the life of the community to whom Matthew was writing. You have that social dimension, and you have that sacred historical dimension. And both are found in that parable of the wedding feast. But of course, this reading is part of a sequence of readings that we have been examining over the last couple of weeks, in which Jesus uses parables to respond to the Pharisees and the other temple leaders' accusation about his alleged lack of authority. In the first reading, we heard how Jesus accused them of being part of the rejection of John the Baptist and of that whole prophetic tradition. In the second reading last week, we saw how Jesus accused them of rejecting his ministry. And in today's reading, we read about the rejection of the community that is to follow in Jesus' wake. Because, as I have said previously, this is a reading that is delivered to a community that is in a time of chaos and conflict and division. The Jewish revolt against the Romans have failed. Jerusalem has been destroyed. The early Christian community has been expelled from the synagogue. And there is a fierce debate going on within that community itself about whether converts, people who wish to become members of the early church, have to obey the Mosaic law, or whether they can keep their traditions they had as Gentiles. And what Matthew does in today's reading is draw the community's attention to the fact that they are like the people who initially were not invited to the feast. The king sent out invitations to the people to come and celebrate with his son. But the people ignored them. And when the king persisted in the invitation, the people turned hostile and even killed some of the servants. And again, in that image, we have the sacred history of Israel summarized, of the repeated rejection of the prophets and of the way that that rejection often turned violent, as it ultimately did for Jesus. And then we have that image of the king in anger, sending an army to kill the people, to destroy their city. And of course, that has already happened when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. But again, reaching back into the history of Israel, it happened when the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem and the people rejected the prophets. And then the king says, I'm going to send out an invitation to everyone. The people I initially chose rejected me, so I'm going to go out and invite everyone, including the people who were previously thought to be unclean and unrighteous and unworthy. And that, of course, is Matthew's message to the early church, to this divided, distracted, conflicted community, to say to them, hang on, you need to remember something. Amidst all these other troubles, you need to remember you have an invitation. All you need to do is respond, because the invitation is issued by the graciousness of God. You were rejected and excluded before. Now you are included and welcomed. But lest people begin to make assumptions, lest people begin to think that they have somehow become a new elect of the righteous and the worthy, Matthew includes a sting in the tail. There's the wedding guest who is not wearing the wedding robe. And again, in that time and place, this is an image that would have been profoundly familiar to the audience by whom it was received. And indeed, it still exists in certain cultures and societies to this day. You cannot turn up to a wedding wearing just anything. You have to turn up wearing the right attire. You have to turn up showing that you have made a sufficient effort in your clothes, in the wedding robe, to show that you are here to be part of this big display. And let's face it, if I turned up to a wedding wearing shorts and flip-flops and a t-shirt, I mightn't get tied up and thrown into the out of darkness, but people would certainly be looking askance at me. But the point that Matthew is making here, in conjunction with the way that he earlier subverts the idea of exclusive invitation, is that in case we should get airs and graces about ourselves, we should always remember that we are here by invitation. And if we come clothed incorrectly, that is to say, if we come here with false pretenses, if we come here assuming a mask, but in reality wanting to be something else, then we will be found out and there will be consequences. And let's face it, history is replete with examples of people and times and places where the pretense has been of church and of faith and of community and of welcome and of inclusion, but the exact opposite has been the case instead. So Matthew, in his typically graphic apocalyptic language, is warning us that if we come to church, if we come to the life of faith with false pretenses, then we will suffer. Because to come with false pretenses is, in effect, to reject the invitation. So as we consider today's reading, and indeed as we consider this series of readings we have heard today, let us reflect on what it means to reject the invitation. Let us reflect on what it means to come with false pretenses. Because we are none of us here because we are worthy or righteous or part of some elect. We are all of us here because God has invited us, because God has extended welcome and invitation to us. Notwithstanding the realities of who we are as human beings. And if we fail to do likewise, while pretending to be the community of God, then we will reject the invitation. And that rejection will play itself out in a whole lot of other ways. Ways that will ultimately rebound on us all. Matthew has provided us with both an invitation and a warning. We would do well to heed both. Perhaps the language, perhaps the imagery is difficult for us or doesn't speak to us as it would have spoken to his audience. But that only means that we need to delve into the text even more deeply and even more thoughtfully. Because there are words of hope there for all of us, but also a word of warning as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.